So we're going to consider the situation of C inside of C3 again. So we considered the universal chiral algebra that we can couple to Cordaro spencer theory on C3. So for example, like focusing on what happens with holomorphic Chern-Simons, so this, whatever this chiral algebra is, it will have elements TA and M, where A is a basis of GLK slash K. And these will couple to the holomorphic Chern-Simons gauge field. By and M where the WY are the normal directions. And there's going to be something similar for Cordaro spencer theory, so we think we'll have to think about over here. I'll have a Beltrami differential. Like, what's the universal thing that I could couple to some Beltrami differential? This guy will have some extra index because the Beltrami differential has three components, and then there'll be some relation because the Beltrami differential is divergence free. So there's a little bit of manipulation to get the Cordaro spencer one, but it's a little quite similar. And the OBEs of these guys are determined by requiring that it's an OBE free. Okay, so now how do we include the back reaction? Well, as before, we'll take some we consider the field sourced by the brain. So this is, we wrote down an explicit formula for this before. It's a certain Beltrami differential, which brings us to the deformed conifold. So the 6D theory in the background of eta is not gauge invariant. So this is because the Lagrangian takes the following form. So if we let alpha be our Beltrami differential, the Lagrangian will have terms. I'll only write down the terms which depend on this guy. And here A is the holomorphic trans-Simons gauge field. So you might consider what happens if I look at one of these terms and I apply a gauge transformation. For example, if I send alpha, center alpha plus d bar chi, just like a linearized gauge transformation. Well, this one is fine, but this one gets messed up because I get a term d bar chi, and I can integrate it by parts. To integral d bar theta alpha chi, which looks like integral over c theta alpha chi. And similarly, this term gets into something which looks like integral over c ghost del a. So these are how these vary under a gauge transformation. So these things are not gauge invariant. So the failure of this term, the failure of the Lagrangian in this background to be gauge invariant is an operator of ghost number one, or Lagrangian of ghost number one. It's an anomaly. Failure of the 60 action it's an anomaly it's of ghost number one, and it's localized on C. So that means it's some functional of the fields, including the ghosts and antifields, and their derivatives where I integrate only over C, and it's of ghost number one. And what I've written down here is just the leading order of this functional, because I didn't write down what happens under nonlinear gauge transformations. There's a few other terms. And you can also think about what happens beyond tree level. Okay, does this make sense? So this statement, the causal duality point of view on holography will be that the operators of the large n gauge theory would be the universal chiral algebra C, which is not anomaly free, but whose anomaly is given by this. So the conjecture is a large N chiral algebra is the universal chiral algebra we can couple to the 60 KS plus holomorphic trans-Simons so that the anomaly is this expression, which is the integral of the curve n times alpha alpha plus curve n times a del a. Okay, so we can ask how do we compute it? So let me try and explain that, unless there's any questions. Yes, exactly. That's a better way of saying it. I.e., it's the universal thing that we can place along C in the presence of this field. So the field away from this origin, Cadera's Spencer theory, away from this plane, Cadera's Spencer theory is well defined, asking what's the universal thing I can insert there so that the whole system is anomaly free. And that universal thing turns out to be the algebra of the large n gauge theory. Now there's something kind of tautologous. You know, we know we can couple the gauge theory along that plane, because it's a theory on a brain. And we know the theory on the brain sources this field eta. So that tells us that for a fixed n, there's a homomorphism from this universal thing to the actual theory on the brain. So the content of this statement is that when n is large, that map is an isomorphism. And that's something that you can actually check semi-classically just by some little computations. So this is kind of automatically true. So. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so let's explain how to compute this. So the best way to think about it is do the same diagram that we wrote down before, but we just include the field sourced by the brain as well as an extra edge. I forget if I wrote down these diagrams last time. So. This is going to integrate the C is the location of brain. This dotted line will indicate the field eta sourced by the brain. A wavy line like that will be a coupling Fulbrovich and Simons, or more generally Cadera-Spencer theory, to the fields, to an operator in this universal Carroll algebra. So the computational method is like the same kind of thing as before. So, for example, just focusing on holomorphic transimons again, just for simplicity. So we'll say that C has operators P, A, N, M, as before. And we consider a diagram like this. I wrote down kind of slightly random such diagram, where there is two external lines K copies of this back reaction field coupled L times on the line, on the brain. So if we take such a diagram, so it's just a functional of the external fields, and we ask, is this invariant under gauge transformations? So the failure of this the invariant under gauge transformations will be something like the integral over C of some derivatives of my external fields, because one of them I've done a gauge transformation. So here there might be a C, here there's an A. And then here I'm going to have a bunch of T's, because it's cut. Each vertex here will have a T. So I'm going to have L T's. And then end the k, because I have k of these. So it'll be some expression like this. And like what, whether or not there's an anomaly for this kind of diagram will depend strongly on like how many of these guys you have. So I will get some non-trivial dependence on n. So if we have such an anomaly, then, oh, and there's also going to be some derivatives in this in the space-time direction, del z, d or something like that. And we must have dAB from here. T M N you're going to have this kind of relation. Okay. So roughly speaking, so this is a bit, I've written it slightly crude. I think the universal problem of like finding the universal algebra is like very much a well-defined thing. Given any vertex algebra, you can test concretely whether or not you can make it anomaly-free, and one will run into diagrams like this. I mean, the simplest thing to imagine is that suppose I want to test whether or not I can insert a bunch of free fermions. Then, like if the thing living here was actually Lagrangian, like my test vertex algebra, then I would also have kind of Feynman diagrams living along there. And this would be a some standard loop computation with Feynman diagrams. So maybe let's do one example, and then let's move on to doing other things. So if we consider the Carrier algebra, where I have as before, when we do this VRST reduction. So these I and j, if you recall, are for the matter content. We can think of it as coming from this quiver, where z1, z2 are associated to this guy, and I is there, and j goes there. Okay. So in this algebra, ij this carries a copy of the adjoint index for glk/k. B 1 over z squared and z invariant pairing on glk/k. Sorry. And this car is a factor of n. So how do we see that from this picture? So we would expect that ij corresponds to the TA00. So it couples to just the integral of the holomorphic Chern-Simons field. So to get this kind of relation, we're going to have some diagram which is of linear order in n and which doesn't have any t vertices on it, because on the other side we have the identity operator. So over here is the identity operator. So we'll see that this comes from now, so we want to study, is that diagram anomaly free? Well, we've secretly already done this. This is asking, is that expression right, I consider the kinetic term of transignments in the presence, the field sourced by the brain, is that gauge invariant? The answer is no. So this diagram contributes the integral over C3 of eta A del A, where this is the field sourced by the brain. So if I send A to A plus del bar C, and use the fact that del bar eta is a delta function on C times del Z, this becomes the failure of this to be gauge invariant is the integral over C of A del Z. So now we say this has to be canceled by some OPE among the generators of the vertex algebra. So let's look at a diagram like this and see whether this is gauge invariant. So what does a diagram like this contribute? So this contributes the integral of A z1 z2 A at z2, that's the position of those vertices, times the OPE P00. So what we'd like to see is that if this OPE looked like 1 over z squared, then this will be cancelled. Or more precisely, so if we vary A, we get integral z1, z2, c at z1, a at z2, d bar, t0, 0, 0, 0, 0. This is the OPE at the point z1, z2. Now, if And more generally, you can see that this d bar term will only pick up the singular part of the OPE, because the non-singular terms will be closed under d bar. So if this has some OPE expansion in terms of powers of 1 over z1 minus z2, accompanied by operators, d bar of that will pick up certain delta functions and the derivatives accompanied by the same operators. Okay. So what we've concluded is that the anomaly from this diagram is canceled only if we have the OPE where T00, T00 looks like n over z squared, which is what we really do have in the gauge theory. So in principle, you can go on and compute like everything about this large n vertex algebra. Okay, any questions? Maybe I should say something about some other examples. I mean, there was an example studied by Nafees, Farooq, and Yehow, which well, let me say a little bit about another example. Is ADHM quantum mechanics. So we're going to consider the topological string on R2 times C2, but these directions are A model, and these directions are B model. And we're going to introduce N D1 rings, which wrap or times 0 times or times 0 times 0, and K D5 rings, which wrapping 0 times or times C times. So the theory on the D1 rings is an open string field theory computation, which tells you what the theory is. But I'll just tell you the answer, so it's not difficult. So it's gauged quantum mechanics, gauged topological quantum mechanics, and it has two adjoint valued scalars. Z1, Z2, with the integral z1 dz2 action. Together with I in ck cn j in ck. Again with the integral I dj. So it's gauged quantum mechanics. So really, I should put covariant derivatives here. So A is a one form valued in GLN. And so the algebra of operators is obtained from that of the free theory. Or like, you know, Zi. So on. So these guys have canonical commutation relations. I and J have canonical commutation relations. By quantum Hamiltonian reduction, which is the same as the BRC reduction. And in case it's not obvious, the I and the J are the D1, D5, and D5, D1 strings. So this theory describes its quantum mechanics of a map from OR to the moduli of instant dots. By the ADHM construction. So it's going to be important for us. Well, like, if you want to study this directly, there's a slightly annoying thing that the moduli of instantons on C2 is quite singular. So it's slightly difficult to study this just as it is. It's a little more convenient to add on a term why I integrate with some constant, I integrate over OR the trace of this one-dimensional gauge field. So some people call this a Chern-Simons term. I'm not quite sure why. But adding on this term has an interpretation in terms of the string theory. This arises from the closed string field where Zi's, this is on the B model direction, so we're making this B model direction non-commutative with this parameter. So once I introduce this term, so So let's write down the full action, including the E1 dA E2 plus I dAj plus constant times trace of A. So if we can look at the equations of motion we get by varying A. We'll find Z1, Z2. It's really a commutator there. Plus ij is we get this equation. So I hope everybody's familiar with this equation when C is zero, the ADHM equation.
Is C the same thing as
Yeah, sorry. So when lambda is zero, this is the ADHM equation, and describes an instanton on C2. So the interpretation when lambda is not zero is, well, you can kind of guess at the interpretation by noticing that Z1 and Z2 are related to the holomorphic coordinates on C2. So here, well, there's something about those guys not commuting. So this turns out to be something called the non-commutative ADHM equation. And mathematically, it describes torsion-free sheaves on non-commutative C2. Or if you prefer, non-commutative C2, the algebra of functions is the algebra of differential operators on C. So it's like the moduli of solutions of this equation is some moduli of torsion-free D modules on C. So if you're interested in this topic, there's some nice work of Benz V. Nevins about how this appears in integrable systems. I think it's an interesting topic. So that's pleasing to notice because clearly there we've made C2 non-commutative. So the kind of physics intuition is when I have that D5 with a bunch of D1s, the D1s really are instantons. When I make the D5 non-commutative, they become non-commutative instantons in that five-dimensional gauge theory. So this is a nice example of this kind of holographic story because making that C2 non-commutative has the effect of essentially getting rid of the bulk closed string theory. So the polyvectorials just become the Durand complex of C2, which has no cohomology. So the bulk closed string theory is essentially gone. For instance, if we were to try to describe Witten diagrams here, you would find one operator without any interesting scattering. So it's completely trivial. And that's just because the operators are going to be something about the cohomology and topological cohomology. You don't find anything interesting. So in this setting, everything of interest is entirely given by what happens in the D5 brain. So this is good. I mean, if you remember when we were studying the 60 story, it was the closed string sector was always kind of annoying, and the open string sector was much better behaved. But here, everything is in the open string sector, so it's lots of things are just a bit easier. So the fields on the 5 brain are AT plus AZ bar 1 plus AZ bar 2, like a three-component gauge field. And the Lagrangian is integral dz1 dz2 a dA over 2. So we have the usual Trans-Siemens term. But because we made the C2 non-commutative, we get a bunch of other terms in the action. Lambda epsilon ij and as we keep on going, we can write out the next term. More terms given by the Moyal product. For example, the next term is lambda squared epsilon j epsilon kl. So this is all equivalent to dz1, dz2, half a dA plus 1 over third. Where star lambda is the Moyal product. So now we've got the setup for doing this example, and I think maybe next time we can explain how you can consider gauge invariant operators here and match them up with the operators of the universal thing I can couple, and then by studying these kinds of diagrams we were discussing, we'll find relations in the universal algebra, and we can see that those relations do indeed hold over there by explicit computation. What's that, sorry? Oh, it actually doesn't matter because the Moyal product has derivatives. So the terms which depend on lambda are all total derivatives because of the derivatives, so that doesn't matter. any questions?
Can I say something about how this polyvector field gives you that additional charge on the thermodynamics level?
Say it how.
So you can say that if you turn on that polyvector field, which turns on not commutativity on C2,
mm-hmm.
you get an extra term in the quantum mechanics of the D1 field.
Yes.
Can you say a bit about how to go from the polyvector field to the
Oh, yeah. There's algebraic rules for doing this kind of thing, which I don't recall if we did before, but so the open string fields. For the D1 are forms and or adjoin two odd variables. Or these guys are the X algebra in C2 of the structure of the point. So we do these computations with coherent sheaves to figure out the open string fields. This is what we find. So there's some kind of rule. Which is a kind of Fourier transform, how polyvector fields on C2 goes to expressions in the epsilons. So the way it works is Zi goes to del epsilon I, and del Zi goes to epsilon I. So this is an isomorphism from polyvector fields, like holomorphic polyvector fields on C2 to polyvector fields on pi of C2. Now, let's see. So del Z1 went to del Z2, it's sent to epsilon 1, epsilon 2. Now, in general, if we have a polyvector field with k dels, we get an operator which involves k plus 1 open string fields. So the formula is kind of integral A, del A, del A. And then I contract these with the indices of my polyvector field. This is the formula for the operators, for the operator associated to a polyvector field. Now, this formula applies even if I have some odd variables here. So I'm really doing kind of super integral. So in our case, this is an integral over or times C0 slash 2. Now epsilon 1 epsilon 2 has 0 dels, so I get something depending on 1a. This gets sent to the operator. The integral over or times C0 slash 2 of my superfield times epsilon 1, epsilon 2. My superfield here. And because this is a superintegral, this picks up the integral of epsilon 1, epsilon 2 is 1, so I just pick up the lowest component, which is the ordinary gauge field. So I didn't really justify these rules. They're justified by some, this isomorphism is justified by saying that these are kind of, these are two boundary conditions for the same bulk. So I can describe the bulk operators as Hodgkin cohomology with the two different boundary conditions. It's related to Hodgkin duality. But you can use this rule to figure out, given any total string field in the bulk, what deformation does it do just by manipulating this? And you know, for instance, if it was some polynomial of degree k, you would get some expression of degree k plus 1 in the open string fields, because there would be k d epsilons.